I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Monday. Welcome into Tech Talk. You got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Appreciate you making us part of your Monday. Hopefully it's going well for you. Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock. Lots of stuff going on tonight that we'll talk about, including Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock. He looks back at a series sweep of the Houston Cougars up next. They have ACU. That'll be tomorrow in Abilene. We're live from the First United Bank Studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that. Welcome there. And you can take us anywhere with you with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. And if you want, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Lots of stuff to dive into today. We'll also start a Word of the Day promotion. So make sure to, if you're going to tune in, really make sure to tune in at 4:45, and we'll see if we can help you win some cash. Would love for a Tech Talk listener to be a winner of that cash prize. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass. Gus?
Clint?
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. I've got some Sour Patch Kids again. I'm all stocked up. You came in and yelled at me.
Did you get that today? Gig book? Yeah, as I handed you three monster boxes of candy. I yelled at you.
What have
you're
you
like
ever
my daughter.
Done for
You've been
me.
Yelling at me.
Oh, you're about to understand the difference between yelling and yelling.
It's not what you said. It's how you said it. That's it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And the did you get the blue light book yet?
No, not yet.
For fellow American?
Still working on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ask a whole lot for the 17 boxes of candy I give you every spring.
Have you kept actual track of it?
I guess you getting a gig on a Wednesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is just too much to ask, huh, for your old friend here.
Here, how about this? I'll get you some Long John Silver sometime. I'll bring it in. Or even better, I'll get it before I come to work. I'll keep it in the fridge. It'll be nice and fresh. And then when you come here, you can just microwave it.
You know what?
And it'll be just like you went over through the drive-thru and got yourself some chicken planks.
I'm just going to send Poorman your song and ask him to play it. And that way I can know.
Don't do that.
That way I can know, just hear the song that I keep asking you to play in person. And
well, you could just play it on your phone if you wanted to.
We've played it on this year's show before.
We have.
Poorman might not have. It might have been before. No, it was definitely when you were on this side of the glass.
Yes, it was absolutely on this side of the glass. This from Bullfighter. Finally got to meet the famous Dr. Gus. Did you unblock him on Twitter? Weren't you too beefing on
no,
X?
No, heck no.
You were like, I will not be around Bullfighter. I refuse to accept
absolutely
his tweets.
Not. He yelled at me in the booth after the probably Saturday game, as I recall.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's right. I think it was Saturday. I don't think it was yesterday.
Did you yell back?
Good to say absolutely, I did. So I was glad to meet him. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot from him. Saw him run a race last year, but actually.
Saw him win a race last year.
Looked like he had a filly with him, too.
Yeah.
Filly. Mm-hmm. He's got a new filly in the paddock. What? I don't know, maybe the same filly he's had in the paddock. That part I can't attest to. But there was, it could have just been a woman standing there near him and looked like she was with him. But, yeah, I mean, we were kind of
why didn't
up.
You yell that out of the window? Like, hey,
is that your new girlfriend?
Hey, pal, she with you?
No, the best way to ask that is, man, is this your fiance from Houston you've been telling us about? Because then, 99% of the time, that's not the fiance from Houston. And then she looks at him like, what? Mm-hmm. Am I being duped here?
Yeah. Is this the one from Oregon? Or the one from Virginia. I can't remember. Yeah. Can't keep all of these straight.
And then he's, hey, don't listen to that guy. Hey,
And then the first time meeting Gus, he regrets it.
Exactly.
Gets him into trouble.
Stay out of the media area. It's dangerous up here, pal. No, I'm glad you said hi. Someday I'll get to meet Shelly, too.
Yeah, she says, I still have not. Was at the game last Sunday and couldn't bring myself to introduce.
Well, that's fine. You just...
You do put off a don't talk to me vibe.
Maybe I do with headphones on during the game. I hope I do.
I'll never forget last year. I don't remember which game it was. I just remember it was specifically Bark at the Park night last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had said, hey, since you're here, I've got your, speaking of candy, I've got your box of candy.
Sure.
And,
so just
and
quietly
you were just like,
step into the booth.
Just quietly step in. And mm-hmm. so I walked in and I couldn't tell if you could see me or not. And I still don't think if you knew I was there and just slipped in between you and grabbed my box of candy and was out of there. And the whole time
exactly
I was like,
that's exactly what I wanted
man.
You to do. You were.
I army crawled. I started doing my own spy music.
John and I do go on cam. Pre-game, we usually record it ahead of time. So, like a 1 o'clock game, we probably record that thing at 12:45, and so you can do a couple of takes if you need to, whatever. And then we're off cam. Every once in a while, they'll do a mid-innings kind of. You know, we'll come out of the fifth inning, and it'll be a shot of he and I from a little kind of a little like a little deal mounted on the monitor. It's really about the distance from me to this helmet.
Yeah.
It's not as far away as from me to you. But it's kind of got a little fisheye wide angle thing to it. But in other words, other than that very opening deal, you coming into the booth, not going to get caught in the back of a shot or anything unless back you just had impeccably bad timing. But
or just over the speaker, you hear a door fly over.
Well, you get that anyway.
Where's the Sour Patch Kids,
yes,
Gus?
Yeah, that would be.
First they're sour, then they're sweet.
That would be the other thing not to do. Voice yourself, but the door opening and closing happens as well. So yeah, you'd be good.
I just remember I wanted you to know that I got them and that I was thankful, but obviously I wasn't going to talk, so I couldn't tell if you saw me. So it was just like I feel like I did the most awkward shoulder pat. Just waited until you weren't talking. Like
we're good.
Thanks for the free candy.
Absolutely.
I will worm away to my original seating. Now, good sir.
Go down there and eat 4 pounds of sugar.
Yeah.
And you did.
Yeah,
you
I did.
It. I think it was when the Jayhawks were in town.
I don't see.
Is that right?
I don't think it was then. It was Bark at the Park. So it was like an ACU or something.
Game.
It was a midweek.
Yeah.
And the reason I remember, because that was the game that my wife came with me.
You're right.
Was one of the games when she
there
did.
Is a,
so.
There is another. They're making another run at Bark at the Park because the last one was moved up to super early to get around some
weather 12 o'clock
thing.
Freezing cold Bark in the Park.
Yeah, so we're gonna get another one I think 3 weeks from tomorrow.
You know what there was a lot of in the park for the first one?
Empty seats,
chili dogs.
Wah. There's
Thank
one
you.
More good news. That's the good news. There's another one coming up.
Yep, so get your dogs ready, get them prepared. Hey, when we come back, it's the Juice. You got us on Double T 97.3.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's a Monday edition of Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and Double T97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. Time to hit you up with round one of headlines. It is the Juice. We'll start with what happened yesterday. Texas Tech completed the sweep of Houston, winning 12-8. Part of that was a big, big swing in the third inning from Gavin Cash. Was the second grand slam of the weekend. Got another good outing from the pen from both Josh Sanders and Parker Hutera, who were also nails in Friday. For Sanders and then Hutera for Saturday. So they had a great weekend. Certainly had to deal with adverse conditions, but everybody did. And it wasn't smooth sailing at all times through this weekend, but the important thing is, hey, you get three wins. I don't care if you had
Absolutely.
To be uncomfortable to do it the whole way. You get your first sweep.
And you get a five. You get a five-win week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if you can make it six in a row when you hit the road tomorrow as you take on Abilene. Although I think there may be weather that could cause issues with this tomorrow. I believe this one could be up in the air, but either way, 5:30 is what it's scheduled for. Coverage time tomorrow, Double T 97.3, 6 o'clock first pitch. If you want to hear a breakdown of the series and then a look ahead to this week, and of course on the other side of ACU, you have another purple team on the road as you take on TCU as your next Big 12 opponent. You can hear a breakdown of both of those, and again a recap of the sweep against Houston tonight on Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock live from Rudy's. So you can hear it after we're done, or if you want to go eat some barbecue and go put in a question yourself, you can go over to Rudy's. Always a good time over there. And then after that, college basketball, the men's side, sees the season finale. Women's wrapped everything up yesterday with South Carolina beating Iowa. I thought a pretty good ball game. You can hear the men's side tonight, 7 o'clock on Double T 97.3. UConn looking to go back-to-back. Purdue looking for their first national championship ever, and the first time they're in it since 1969, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that is correct.
Like that?
Yeah. One seed versus one seed. Are you invested in the game tonight?
No. I'll enjoy it, though. I mean, I intend to watch, but I'll... Yeah, I'm not. I don't have wagers or any. The one bracket I entered into, I'm like right behind the other person. Like I did pretty good out of the 20 that got in, like second or third. But we're on the same team deal, so I can't.
Can't advance
if her, his, whoever their team loses, my team loses. Her team wins, my team wins.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's if I had any investment, it'd be that at least with these teams, but. Looking forward to a good game.
Texas Tech softball, they ended up losing the series to Baylor, falling in the rubber match 11-3. This game was over in the sixth inning, so a run rule here in Waco. They did win Saturday to even up the series and get their first ranked win of the year, but they dropped 2 of 3 in Waco. Now, up next, they'll have Kansas at Rocky Johnson. So they'll host the Jayhawks coming to town this weekend. First pitch on Friday will be 6 o'clock. Speaking of Red Raider baseball, they got good news just a little while ago. Damian Bravo found his name on a weekly award as he was the Big 12 Player of the Week. And he's got to be your lock as of now for first team, right? In the conference?
You know, if he keeps this up, the key thing is it's so difficult. It's like being the first team running back or the first team receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, you know, just because everybody's got an outfielder that can swing it.
So then maybe I should say front runner. But, yeah. But he's just swung it spectacularly.
If he continues anywhere close to this level, he'll be getting All-American stuff and all that. Anybody that's up over 400 is going to be getting all that. And then preseason, all that stuff next year. But, yeah, he's, you know, just knock on wood that he keeps rolling at a level like this. Yeah, I was counting that up yesterday. I think he was like 13 for 19 on the week in the five-game week. And I thought, yeah, it'll be in good shape here. I was hoping Josh Sanders might get some pitcher stuff because – three really good outings. He only had the one result, though. He only had the one win. So it usually takes for a reliever to win something, pitcher-type thing, and be a win and two saves or something like that. You know, but he was very good on Monday against Stanford in the extra-inning win. Very good on Friday night in the win that he got, the three scoreless, and then critically important yesterday, but didn't get a result.
That Friday one just worked so smoothly, too. It was like, oh. He just closed this game out. He shut the door.
He quieted down. And, yeah, him and Hugh Terry, you said it well. They were the difference.
This weekly award, by the way, just the second of any kind this year for the Red Raiders. TJ Pompey in week two won newcomer of the week. So looking forward to hopefully some more in the back half of conference play as you head into it. Again, you'll see ACU tomorrow and then TCU this weekend. The Astros. They beat the Texas Rangers. Well, how about the righty Ronel Blanco? His start to the year has been just lights out.
Yeah.
Get the no hit and then one hit ball over six scoreless innings.
I did get to see that, a good part of that game last night, the vast majority of it, and those dudes put on a pitching clinic. And I know the Rangers took care of most of that series, but my gosh, the Astros pitchers last night, it was just surgical, mm-hmm. man.
You can hear the finale tonight, Rangers looking for the series win, Astros trying to split it. You'll join this one in progress after the high school fan zone. 7:30 on 100.7 The Score. Speaking of the high school fan zone, Garrett Luff will host coaches from Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High, Monterey, right here in the First United Bank studio, an hour and a half long program starting at 6 o'clock. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, all of that, welcome there. Bullfighter, by the way, said, that's weird, that was my mom.
That's funny. I really didn't notice her well enough to know if she was 22, 42, or 62. So he may be serious, he may not. I don't know, but I chuckle. Could have been. I wouldn't know.
I hope he was very awkward.
Putting my crap up. He yelled at me. I said, "Hey!" And then the whole thing took about 10 seconds. And, you know, and then I saw two people walk off. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A 10-second moment that feels like it could last a lifetime.
Absolutely. You know?
This on the chat line. Do you stand up and pace for most of the game? Because I do when at home.
Was that a question to you?
I think that was to you.
And that was a question not about me in the booth. I do stand up in the booth a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, because Jamie will set his Comrex, like his headphones under the table, you know, very neat and organized, and I'll have, and I'll keep mine on top because I want to be able to stand up and not have it like pull my, you know. But there's not enough cord there to wander. It just allows me to stand up, mm-hmm. sort of stretch my legs and some nervous energy and that kind of stuff. But I'm really not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. A lot of stand up, sit down.
That's what I mean. I know this is a different booth situation and doing different stuff, but for me, I like my high school stuff. I feel like it's like 2 minute intervals if I'm standing or sitting. Mm-hmm. Like it looks like I'm doing an up down drill.
Yeah,
and it's mostly because I am a child that can't sit still. You're lucky I don't stand up on this show more and just get out of like frame on the camera and just like talk down, look like Wizard Kelly from the Proud Family or something. You never know what my face looks like.
I'm gonna go over there and zoom that camera out and get a longer cord and stand up.
It is a tech talk, a little bit of a Red Raider baseball and Big 12 baseball talk as a whole when we return.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. You can also take us anywhere with the mobile app. It's brought to you by Happy State Bank. Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock, live from Rudy's. You sweep the Houston Cougars. You survive the winds, ooh, the gusts everywhere, if you will. How do you feel after this weekend's results right now with Red Raider Baseball?
Well, the certainly love those results. And survive, you know, who knows, those type things, probably that kind of weather is probably the sort of thing that plays to our advantage when it's like that. Because, you know, we get pitcher give up a wind blown homer and not to say they embrace it or they like it, but they're probably not just sort of like rattled out of their shoes.
Probably not looking in there going, I did not expect this to happen at all or right. have never seen this.
Right. Now, it doesn't do that in the fall, that's a key thing. You mm-hmm. know, there's not a lot of windblown mess around there in the fall, you know, because these winds are more of a March and April thing. Not to say there's not windy days outside of that, but the, you know, the winds out of the southwest, although last Tuesday Stanford went out of the northwest, so it was cold and blowing straight out a million miles an hour. But yeah, and I thought it really showed, because they've got a couple, they've got some good arms in their pen, and I thought some of those dudes came in and nibbled right off the bat. And one of the things that we had all talked about is when you get the stat sheet and kind of start prepping for your next opponent, like, man, these guys all have really good strikeouts to walks. Mm-hmm. You know, like some guy, you know, 15, and the one dude that didn't walk anybody until yesterday, mm-hmm. he gave up 8 hits, and to his credit, he gave up 8 singles. Didn't and walked one, his first walk of the year. So now in 23 innings or whatever, he's walked one, maybe hit one guy too. But you saw a bunch of dudes that came in with pretty good strikeouts to walks and walks per 9 inning numbers, you know, solid, mm-hmm. better than average type things. And they came in here and they were like being really fine, you mm-hmm. know, like trying to make the perfect pitch. And so then they get behind 2-0, give up a rocket, you mm-hmm. know, and that's sort of how that works. Rather, because they come in trying to go, man, if I hang this breaking ball, I'm going to hit it 500 feet. You know, yeah. like
it may never land.
Right, and Pompey did. But you know, that sort of thing happens, and their younger guys were probably – and now, you know, we had some guys that didn't come in and throw strikes either, although less than them, because we knew they were going to run through everybody, and they did. And the vast majority of them weren't very effective this weekend, but except for Cade Sotelli, who was really good late on Friday and really good late yesterday, and in hindsight, probably glad he wasn't given a tie ball game or something.
Yeah,
and so you know, but they're I don't, you know, if our guys didn't throw strikes and Mac Hewer's pitched in that stuff before, and Mac just never really commanded his secondary stuff yesterday and didn't have the usual good fastball command that he normally has. Robinson wasn't sharp, but both those dudes, I mean, pitching in that mess, you know, it's just trying to get some outs. You know, mm-hmm. you're not – it's. I mean, it'd be great to say you're going out there and trying to hang zeros. No, you're going out there and trying to minimize damage,
mm-hmm.
and especially on a day where they're not sharp. And the two guys that were sharp and that were I won't say maxed out in a way that makes it sound dangerous, but that we got as much as we could out of them probably are the Hutera Sanders combo. Those guys are both fantastic.
And that's what I was going to ask. I mean, maybe not stand out, because there was, you know, a few guys offensively that had pretty stellar weekends, sure. too. But certainly from an arm department, you know, an arm angle, if you will, those two were the leaders in the conversation of just being lights out and so crucial for you and getting that out. And to me, even from when we had this conversation 2 weeks ago, you know, those have really developed into, I would think, the guys that you trust the most right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you could probably put maybe one or two in that conversation and into that grouping, but I mean, they're like your for sure's right now. Yeah. And I think for Sanders, it's not a shock, but I would label it that as Hutera, just from, you didn't know what you're going to get out of him this year, you know,
yeah,
being a young sure. guy. But it's not certainly not a negative, certainly not like, hey, well, maybe we slow down all this success and looking good stuff there, youngster. We need to go through the proper ringer.
You know,
you're not turning your nose up at that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of, I don't know, maybe conviction or something, but just a confidence that sort of belies his age, I guess, might be the way to say that, but just goes right after guys in a way. And he throws strikes just in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes some guys years to get to the strike zone, and it's some others just walk in and have it. And, you know, it's not certainly nicer when you have that. But one thing he doesn't do is nibble around in terms of, you know, again, wind howling out, and you're not seeing him like dance around and try to stay off the outside corner and get a bunch of chases and stuff. It's you know, pretty direct, throws with conviction. A lot of times you'll hear coaches say that he throws with conviction, which just means he's not out there shaking off 14 signs or whatever, trying mm-hmm. to do the perfect pitch. You're like, okay, he said to throw the number two, wham, you know, mm-hmm. okay, he said to throw number one, wham. And you know, so far so good for him, and I would imagine that he's the kind of arm. I don't know that this would happen this year, but I would imagine he's the kind of arm that this time next year is probably starting on weekends. We'll see about that because, you know, probably need to get a little bit better with his changeup and kind of make that next step. But I would be, you know, wouldn't be surprised at all if he's a starter next year.
Side note, a part of the series, you get to see Brady Trombello get recognized, which was nice to see.
Yeah, on Saturday. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Him and his family were there. Of course, just and that was sort of the announcement there in the ballpark, and we were able to capture a little bit of it for the TV broadcast. But out of all of his therapy and all that kind of stuff, and back to going to class and back to, I think, throwing some bullpens and just, you know, playing catch and doing that kind of stuff, will not play this year.
Sure.
No doubt about that.
Forcing a miraculous comeback that doesn't need to happen situation.
Exactly. And most of my information on this came from his parents, who walked down there and sat with, you know, we call them the hecklers, so they don't really do all that shtick anymore. But down there, and my wife happened to be sitting down there, son and dad and all of them, and so the Trombello family, she kind of sat down there for an inning or so and just talked about, thanked them, you know, because George Watson had led a little effort to, mm-hmm. you know, to get them some, just to help them with some money and stuff when they were here, when all that broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came down there to thank, and they were telling them about, you know, that he getting to play catch, getting to go to class, getting to be with the team, and going to be here this summer, I think, going to summer school, probably just back in the weight room and kind of doing all the normal things, I guess, so that he would have a normal fall and maybe be back on the mound. Mm-hmm. So really, really good news there. Just feel good stuff of the weekend for sure.
Well, that's something, like, of course, we're more focused on the baseball side, right? Because, I mean, this is how we know him. But, like, just coming back from that and doing, like, the everyday stuff, like, hey, get back in school rhythm,
just being
like, yes, all of that stuff.
Like, awesome.
Can't comprehend, but it's good to see.
No doubt.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's a Monday edition of Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Thank you for joining us. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass. We are live from the First United Bank studio. We got this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Ghost of the Southwest Conference. I've had foreign Sour Patch Kids from Germany. I wonder what Sour Patch Kids in German is. Probably something aggressive sounding.
Where's the Sour Patch Kids, yes, Gus? First they're sour, then they're sweet.
Yes, like that.
God dang.
And he's had.
I didn't even listen to that the first time.
Yeah, I was just scaring you. I was trying to yell at you like you yelled at me to start the show. I've had the Sour Patch Kids from Germany, and I actually like them better. Foreign candy and chocolate are elite. I always ask for my sister to bring some when she comes back from Croatia for the holidays. Great weekend for baseball, and hopefully the Astros even up the series versus the Rangers, and Parker gets a win for the Astros out of the bullpen. Guns up, and have a great day, guys.
Parker got sent down the other day, so of all of your statement there. Yeah, you think you want to be a big leaguer, and we all do, but you think it's all glamorous and everything. He's on his way to DFW with the team the other day, got family pass list. So it was a DFW kid, family on the pass list, a couple buddies coming into town, do the deal. Parker, we're sending you down. So he gets sent down to AAA. Had the bad outing, and then he had a three-up, three-down outing behind that, and then didn't pitch for 3 days. Well, the problem is when you have options, you know, they get 3 years where they can send you up and down, you know, four times a year or whatever it is. When you're the guy down there with options, you may not be doing the worst, but, you know, some guy comes off the DL or whatever and like, hey, that guy right there, he can go down with no cost. You don't have to cut him. Whereas if you go to the, you know, this guy over here, if you want to send an older guy down, say, hey, we're going to send you down to AAA. Well, he has to clear waivers. Like all of Major League Baseball can pick him up for a fee or whatever it is. But those young dudes, like Beeter, would be in that same boat. Josh Jung would be in that same boat for, I mean, if the bottom fell out for him. Now, I'm not talking about a rehab. You know, like when he comes back, he may go down to Frisco and play in two or three games just to get his, you know, get
bearings
his timing
and,
back.
Yeah, sure.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just getting sent down. But anyway, you know, just a tough deal, and it's part of the business and all, but I can't imagine how, A, the disappointment, but then, oh, and by the way, you need to get on a plane to Tacoma tomorrow or tonight or now. You know, you're not going with us there. You need to go over to United and get on a plane to Tacoma and may need you to pitch tonight against, you know, in a rainy AAA game or something. You know, it's just a tough deal, but that's life in the big time.
This from Lucas. Check out this picture I snagged of the eclipse today.
Oh, man. Be careful on what you click on there. Clint sent me a doozy earlier.
Oh,
you
yeah, whatever.
I
vice versa.
It was a
vice
picture
versa
of the sun and the moon, and it was not. Clint's vile.
I knew I shouldn't have clicked. I never click on a video Gus sends you. Never do it. I can't help it because I got to know what it is.
I never click on anything that Clint sends
me. Okay. You're afraid it could be another Reba song?
No, that's not me. That's your other buddy there. He's the one worried about that.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, I don't want to hear it, but I'm not gonna convulse like he did.
With pure rage. Did you go out and do the old,
I got the glasses
and I look and up and...
I kind of went out about a little bit after 12:30, I guess, and could see the very first little slice. You know, coming out of it, and then I guess maybe about 2:15 or so, I finished up with a little certification deal around the office. I'm going to run out there and see, and surely enough, that was kind of the back end of the little slice going out, but I got, you know, several looks at it along the way and got it at peak, as close to peak as we got it here in Lubbock.
Yeah.
And talked to a guy that was driving over here that lives in Kansas City, and he was – I forget what he said he was doing. He said, "Don't ask me how I was on looking at something from Indianapolis, but they were in the, you know, it's like dark. It looked like 9 o'clock tonight or whatever, you know." And I think DFW had that as well. But
I know the lighting we got was how the lighting we get when we usually go home. So I was just stepped outside and I was like, "I'm just gonna keep going to my truck. I'm ready to pack it up."
No kidding. I was looking out the window at, you know, you're looking out at 1:30 or whatever, thinking, man, it feels like a thunderstorm. Like, thunderstorm,
sure.
Kind of dark, you know. You go out there and it's just people standing out in the parking lot looking up at the deal, you know.
Do you feel, different after the eclipse? You feel enlightened? Feel like your life has forever changed?
No, but I did think about what it must have been like 1,000 years ago or whatever, back before
the world is ending.
Well, yeah. I mean, wouldn't you think that? I mean,
sure.
You know, like, what's going on here? Because you look up and those clouds that would normally be what would be causing the source of darkness, you know, 5 hours after we woke up. I mean, just, you know, how dramatic that must have been back in those days. It must have been, probably like an earthquake or a volcano or something, which is why
none of our sacrifice to the gods worked. So,
well, that's what I mean.
That's back great to know. Days, thanks, poor moon.
Those poor folks probably did think it was all winding down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
Threw all those people in that pit for nothing.
I saw a little thing like the flat earthers having a rough day today. It was like the moon, and it had just like a little shadow line drawn through the middle of it.
I'm excited for the people that were excited about it. I got to tell you, it was just kind of like darkness in the day for me.
Yeah, I mean, if I was really into the thing and had high-end photography and telescopes and stuff, might be more interesting. I can't imagine driving 4 hours grudge against anybody that does.
I'm not angry at anyone that like went to DFW and spent you know, extra money on like the hotels that were jacking up gas prices and stuff to do it. I'll say this, not for me.
Right. I'm intrigued. I want to see it, but I'm probably going a long way out of my...
Don't stare at the sun, kids. It's not good for your eyes. It's Tech Talk on Double
T97.3. It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here in Double T97.3, DoubleT97.3.com. Thanks for joining us. Happy Monday to you. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass. The national championship for the NCAA men's side of the tournament, UConn and Purdue. Did you watch any of the women's game yesterday, South Carolina winning?
I did not, because it was during the afternoon, right?
Oh, duh. Yeah, that's right.
I forgot.
I just realized it was double screen. Hey, so, yeah, probably would have been hard for you.
That's all right, yeah.
You didn't have, like, the phone on over here in the corner.
I got home last night and, you know, was settled late afternoon, whatever, and was settling in and popped on the TV and thought, when is the women's game? Mm-hmm. And I truly did. And on one of the channels, I don't know where I was flipping around, they were showing clips of the post game, like her, you know, with the confetti dropping. And I was like, oh, okay, there's Sean Taylor. Okay. Dawn Staley. And I thought, okay, got my answer. So
you know who won. Unless she just ran out.
Yeah.
Just
that's like, right.
Congratulations. She was so excited for you.
She was very, very complimentary of Clark and you know, and really talked about it. It's what she's done. You know, I thought it was really cool because she was talking about how she had, you know, in some ways carried the game of women's basketball and how well she did it. And just extremely complimentary. It was cool.
I do think it was interesting. And at the same time, I get it, because the key word in all of that for the women's side of college basketball is growing, right? Like, and you're trying to, over the past 2 years, the interest level of it, you've really caught lightning in a bottle. And I think right now you're in not a tricky spot, because that makes it sound bad, but you're just trying to figure out, one, how do you keep that momentum, right? And how do you keep growing your sport, you know, to the consumer? And like something that I thought was interesting with this tournament is, who was it all about? If I said two teams, it was about two teams that met up in the Elite Eight with Iowa and LSU, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was the lead. And I'm not saying people didn't care about UConn or people didn't care about South Carolina. But the main focus on was, hey, Caitlin Clark scoring record. And I'm not saying any of that's bad. I just think it is interesting to me how under the radar I feel like South Carolina's season was, because of how big the Caitlin Clark story was. I mean, they were undefeated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Third championship now in, what, 7 years for Staley and company? And if they haven't won it, they've been knocking on the door every year, like last year when they lost in the Final Four and were on their way
to Iowa.
Yes. I think that's incredibly interesting. But, yeah, so there you go. South Carolina's your champion here. And Caitlin Clark, for whatever this means to you, because this was such an important discussion all week long, does end her career without an actual championship win. So whatever you take from that information – go forth and conquer. The men's side tonight, of course, Purdue and UConn. Do you have a rooting interest on either side?
No, not really. Just, you know, hope it's a good game. And there's no real villain here, I guess, unless you're worried about some sort of a UConn dynasty, I guess. I don't know. Purdue's trying to do what Virginia did, unfortunately, 5 years ago tonight.
Yeah, no doubt.
By losing as a 16-1 and then winning it the next year.
Which would be incredible to me if they did pull that off, that how long it took us to get to see a 16 beat a 1 with UMBC and then Virginia winning it all the next year. And then now this one, if it happens twice, it's like, okay, so maybe it's a good luck charm if you lose to that 16 seed as a 1 seed the year before.
Well, yeah, maybe it's a
It's a blessing.
You probably don't want it if you're losing, if the roster's getting gutted.
Sure.
But if you get a good core group coming back from that level of disappointment, you got to imagine that their focus, their intent, and all of the things that are sort of, I was just say intangible, but you know that all of those sort of human components that go into preparing to win would probably be crazy focus. You would think that the right core group is also like a bunch of dudes that are going, hey fellas, we're not, you know, if I have a crappy day of practice that you're calling me on it, or if you skip free throws that day, hey, we doing that, you know, like all of that stuff probably gets extremely tight. But it, you know, it's no good if you know you're a one seed and a bunch of seniors and everybody, of course, now in the portal deal, I shouldn't even talk about it that way, but you know, because no way to keep rosters complete. By the way, the Calipari to Arkansas conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, the Goodman tweet earlier today was obviously talking about that, but it talked about
how chicken nugget money, man.
Yeah, it is. It's talking about how it's accompanied by an estimated $5 million of annual NIL for that basketball roster.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to get back to Calipari.
Sure.
But so, like, tonight's national championship is super interesting to me from the Purdue side that you were talking about. But then UConn, which is how – if they pull it off tonight, and I think the – I haven't seen what the lines jumped to, but I think it opened at 6.5 points for UConn and just beating everybody by double digits. And that Alabama game was a little bit closer than what it ended up being in the Final Four, but you still win mm-hmm. another double digit. Like, this has right. to be – from a two-year span, what like considered in – and I get there's going to be – you can go all the way back to the UCLA dynasty, and if you're going with just two-year spans. But the way that they've done this has been even more impressive than like what Florida did in 07 and 08. If they were to cap this off, I'm just wondering where this ranks in like the most dominant back-to-back seasons. And you don't have that many to choose from either as far as back-to-back champions if they were to win. But it feels a lot like, even though UConn's not undefeated, but it feels a lot like that Gonzaga-Baylor game
yeah.
a few years ago.
Good point.
Where Gonzaga was undefeated, but even though, I mean, they only won, I say only, was it like 27-0, something like, it was the COVID year, so yeah. it was shortened yeah. going into the tournament.
Didn't I read that the point spreads, and this might have been pre-Final Four, maybe not, but that it was the biggest margin ever for two teams meeting in the finals. Like, you know, they're plus 140
something. Yeah. UConn was plus 125 and Purdue was like plus 90.
Yeah, them and these two teams have gone through the tournament just kicking the crap out of everybody.
Mm-hmm. It's a true 180 from last year's Final
yeah,
Four.
Absolutely.
Just how, I mean, outside, other than North Carolina State's run to the Final Four, which was pretty incredible.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.